Welcome to Hoop Talks. I'm your girl, Noor Zainab. Next to my guy, Jelani Goodridge-Reed, Justin Pooney will not be here until Friday. So lucky for you, Raptor fans. He'll land from Vancouver tonight, but he won't make an appearance until then. But today, we've got the one and only Karina Mustafa joining us from New York City.
Yes.
The land of concrete jungle.
Yeah, the concrete jungle, the Big
Maybe
Apple.
Maybe not the land of concrete jungle.
Yeah, the concrete, not the land of, but you got it. You got it. Shout out to Cree.
Okay, guys, it's a Wednesday, it's a hump day. I'm trying.
I was very afraid of like where that was going.
I know, right?
I was trying to find it. You know, I have filler words. This is what I realized. I have filler words for myself. Yes. So that's what the land there was. But forget all that. It's not about me. It's about you, because you were there to attend the New York Liberty Games this past weekend on Sunday. And before we get to that, because I got so many questions for you, just getting your, you know, in-person experience. How is the weather and how is the air quality around you? Does it smell like a bonfire there as well?
Yes, it also smells like a bonfire here. Yesterday was like super hazy. The sky was like kind of like an orangey color, which is a bit weird. And to be honest, I didn't even realize it until I saw people tweeting about it. So like that just tells you my self-awareness.
So Karina, let's get to the court. So obviously the Liberty, they just met the Sky in like essentially a split, the two games. The first matchup, they had a great start. Okay, they finished off the game with a W, of course. Then the second one, I don't know what happened there. Okay, the 19-point lead. Can you, like, what do you make of them blowing that 19-point lead against Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, after the game, Coach Sandy said that they became complacent in the second half and they kind of went away from what they were. There was a lot of emphasis on playing 40 full minutes versus 20 minutes of the game. That's been something that the Liberty have talked about this entire week, this entire season. It's always been, we have to play 40 minutes versus only playing half of the game. You know, sometimes when a team goes out to like a 19-point lead, they think that they can take their foot off the gas pedal a little. And I think that's what we saw coming out of halftime. They just looked so out of rhythm and they let Chicago come in and disrupt that.
What was interesting to me was Kalia Copper's performance. She had a game-high 27 points. She had 7 rebounds, 3 dimes on 59% from the field and 62% from 3. So talk to me about her effort on the court and what that meant for the Liberty, who were kind of lacking that star power there that night.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about this all season. Ka is the leader of the Chicago Sky now. She scores points in crucial moments, which fires her up even more. Like you just mentioned, she had 27 points. She was 5 of 8 from 3, and 2 of those 3s came from the top of the key, which was just so impressive. And we talk about how versatile of a scorer that she is, and we saw that. She was able to get to the free throw line as well a couple of times. She also had 7 rebounds, and her and Courtney Williams led the team in rebounds. Courtney Williams had 9, which is kind of wild when you think about, oh, Courtney Williams is actually one of the smallest players on the Chicago Sky. So the fact that they were able to lead in rebounds, that just says a lot about their movement on the court and the chemistry that they've been building this year.
I'm actually just so glad you got to see Courtney Williams again. I feel like you've been either stalking her or she's stalking you. Wherever he goes, she shows
I'm just,
up. Wherever
I'm just
she
sad.
Goes,
I'm
you show
salty because I didn't get to talk to her. But yeah, no, it was
But
cool.
If you guys want to check out also, Karina did cover her latest shoe drop with Moolah Kicks. We'll have the links for you underneath here. But I wanted to ask you also, Kareem, this was a home-and-home series, right? You had one game in Chicago, then the other in New York. And I know you spoke to Sandy Brunello and you asked her about playing twice in a row and what that means for the coaches game plan, and she said that it's like a chess match, which sounds very intriguing. So I want you to kind of elaborate on what you got from her answer there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a chess match is all about making adjustments from what your opponent throws at you. And that's kind of what Sandy was talking about. She was saying how you can take little subtle things like what your opponent's defense is doing against you in the first game and use that against them. You can use it to exploit them. You can work around it in the next game that you play. I also thought it was super interesting to get the perspective on the same question, but from the players as well, because the players have a different mentality than the coaches do when it comes to those adjustments, because Benaja Lane said that she just prepares for this game as any other game. She did say that making adjustments is a little bit easier because it is against the same team, but ultimately to her, it's just another game of the season. Whereas like Coach Sandy was saying how she does use this as an opportunity to work on making adjustments. She's talked a lot about the familiarity of playing the same team twice in a row. And so I thought it was interesting to hear how the perspectives were a little bit different on that end.
And Karina, obviously you are fully tied in with the Liberty. You know all things Liberty. So I want to know from you, looking aside from those superstar names, who's the most important player on this team for their success this season?
It's so funny because Coach Sandy, she said to us in media, she's like, you guys call us a super team, but we're not so super. So she's she was pretty hard on herself on that. But I think it's so hard because there's so many like star players on this team.
I know, right?
I think they all have to work together to be important, because if you're really going to look at the star player, it is Stewie, I think, who is the most important player on this team. So if you look outside of that, I think having the role players as well come in, like Kayla Thornton, I thought was a really good acquisition for the team. She's a vet in the league. The way she plays defense is so important. And I think the Liberty are going to need to use that moving forward, because she's so active with her hands on the ball, which is very, very difficult to play against. And when they're able to play defense as a cohesive unit, then they're able to force turnovers. They're able to play more in transition. So I think she's one of the more important players as well. It's really hard when you have a team that is so star heavy, but then right. You also need, you know, the other players to kind of supplement what your roster is doing.
Right. And New York obviously plays Minnesota tonight. So I want to know your early expectation for tonight's game. And looking at the spread, it's massive. 14.5 right now. So where are you on that?
Listen, heading into this game, you might originally think that, hey, this is a chance for the Liberty to easily beat a bottom team. However, that spread is way too big. This Lynx team is coming off of their first win of the season, and that win came against the Washington Mystics. It was a very close game. They won it by 2 points. Kayla McBride had a season-high 24 points, and Tiffany Mitchell's performance also helped them in crunch time to seal that win. So I'd be a little bit hesitant before betting on the Liberty spread here. I went to Liberty practice yesterday, and I came away with a couple of things before this game tonight. On the Liberty side, the key is going to be getting the ball to Stewie. That's something that they really emphasized. They felt like they weren't putting her in positions to succeed in the game against Chicago. I mean, even Courtney Vandersloot kind of took a little bit of that responsibility, where she said that it's on her to create plays that is setting up her teammates for success. And so something that Coach Sandy was also reiterating is like, we need to get the ball to Stewie. We need to help her get to work and help us win. And on the Lynx side, she was also emphasizing in practice yesterday that not only is Tiffany Mitchell a point guard, but she's a scoring point guard. And that kind of changes the way that you defend her, because not only are you trying to stifle her passes, but now you're hoping that she doesn't blow by you to get her own buckets. And so I think that if the Liberty just play the way that they did in that first half against the Chicago game, which was full of ball movement and balanced scoring across the board, then they should be able to get a solid win against the Lynx tonight. But like, just like, pump the brakes a little bit on that big spread.
Well, based off all your answers today, Karina, we know you are a New York Liberty queen. You got everything down on pat, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to bring up the Las Vegas Aces. I am so sorry. They did
it
win
all
last
comes
night.
Back to the Aces.
Dude, when you're going 7-0, when you're undefeated 2 weeks into the WNBA season, I'm going to have to ask you about what's happening over there. And again, like I said, they beat the Connecticut Sun last night. This is one of the best teams in the league as well. So it kind of gets me to question, you know, is there any team out there that can give the Aces a run for their money? I see Jelani shaking his head, but do you got somebody for us?
I don't think so.
Listen,
I'm sorry.
Listen, as much as these Aces are 7-0 right now and nobody has beaten them yet, however, a lot of these teams have pushed them. We saw close games from the Sparks. Even the Sun yesterday were able to make it pretty close. They had a very close game against the Dream earlier this week. I think at this point, any team can give them a run for their money. I think it's just a matter of which team is going to be able to finish strong in the fourth quarter, because that's what's been happening, where these teams are pushing the Aces, but then the Aces are just able to close out the game and execute down the stretch in ways that are very hard to play against. So like even last night against the Connecticut Sun, they made it a close game in the fourth quarter, thanks to Beck Allen going off. Shout out Beck Allen, shout out Liberty, that's a former team. But then they just ran into like Kelsey Plum making a crucial three down the stretch and just not being able to tie the game and take it over. And so I think the Aces have to play the Sun again on Thursday. I think the Sun could actually learn from this first matchup against the Aces, and they might be able to take this one. Again, we kind of go back to that theme of like that mini series of playing the same team twice in a row, just like the Liberty just did against the Sky. The Aces and the Sun are about to do the exact same thing. So we'll see if the Sun are able to make adjustments. I think they are very well equipped to beat the Aces. It's just going to be a matter of like, Let's not let Chelsea Gray get a clutch bucket at the end. Let's not let Kelsey Plum do that. Let's not let Jackie Young blow pass us. Let's not let Asia Wilson get what she wants in the paint. So, like, it's very, very hard, but they've been able to close out the game so far. So the first team that is able to stifle that will beat the Aces.
Yeah, to me, these home-and-home games almost seem like they're supposed to be between the coaches. Like, it's just to see how can the coaches adjust to each other's game plan. And the players just have to kind of go come out and play the best that they can every single night. But, Karina, thank you so, so much for joining us today. We will see you back in the flesh, in person, in Toronto, hopefully with better weather, with better lungs, with better atmosphere. But we can't wait. So thank you for joining us.
Thanks,
and we'll cover everything WNBA on the weekend, Friday, before everything goes down. Take care, guys.
We are in South Beach for Game 3. Well, I wish I was in South Beach for Game 3 of the NBA Finals between the Heat and Nuggets. And let's talk about it here on Hoop Talks. What's up, guys? It's Jelani Goodridge-Reed along with Noor Zainab here for another edition of Hoop Talks. How are you feeling, Noor?
I'm feeling great. But you know who else is like in South Beach right now, Jelani? Messi.
Yeah, that's true. Dude, Inter Miami. You heard about
how
that?
How the hell? To MLS? From Saudi Arabia to MLS?
And they're giving him a bag
to
be there. So it's vibing over there. Obviously, everyone's feeling nice. Yeah. They obviously go to the club and stuff like that. You got your nice restaurants, the water. But we got game three. Game three of the NBA Finals goes down tonight. So looking at this game, it's a series is tied right now at one. Mm-hmm. The Heat had a really impressive game two win on the road. So right now, looking at the series, who needs this game more? Is it Denver looking to get back on track, or looking at the Miami Heat really having a stranglehold possibly on this series? Who do you think?
I think the whole game plan for Miami the entire way through was when you go to Denver, you try to split the series. You get one and you lose one, whatever happens, but you at least try to win one. So Denver has probably had the same idea where it's like, okay, well, we'll see what happens, but we're going to go and get one at least in Miami. But I think now it's no longer the question of, well, do you get game three or game four? You now have to get game three if you're Denver, because if you don't, the momentum now is on the side of the Miami Heat. They're also going to be playing game four in Miami after winning two in a row, one at home, and you don't want them feeling good about themselves at all. We've yet to see a Jimmy Butler performance, so kind of capitalize on that. Make sure you don't get that, because if he does go off, let's say tonight, and they do win, the odds of him going off again in game four in Miami is probably going to be pretty high. So let's make sure that he's not feeling himself as well. And Miami's obviously the hobbled team there. They're without Tyler Hero. They weren't supposed to be there either. They were a play-in team. So for me, it's definitely all falls down to Denver. I think they've got to come out and win this one on top. But what about you?
I got to disagree. I think this is more important for Miami.
Really?
I think just to, like I said, get a stranglehold on this series.
Yeah.
That will, if they win tonight, I think that really changes things. I think it's huge for them. Rather than going down 2-1, I think looking at it as, you know, being up 2-1 and then having an extra game in game four at home to possibly go up 3-1 against a number one seed, the momentum would definitely shift. And I think that with Spoelstra having a lead in a series is different than any other coach, in my 100%. Personal opinion. And that probably will give them time. Like, I don't know what's happening with Hero right now, but that gives them time to wait, possibly.
And see
you
what
know,
happens.
Yeah. And I think they've been doing a good job against Denver. They're holding them to like 106 per game, which is great because Denver can score. So you're looking at that. You're looking at how their shooting was there in game two. If they could continue to be hot, the pressure will go on Denver. And like you mentioned, Denver would have to be like, what's going on here? What's going on here? So I think it's more important for Miami, in my opinion, to get it done right now.
Interesting.
Because, okay, you steal one on the road. That was the point. The point was to split it, right? Just get one in Colorado. Now you're back home. And if you could just have your mojo, have that momentum, I think it's huge.
That's so interesting. Because in my eyes, too, the way I look at it is Miami's always been that team that kind of bites you from behind. You know, like they kind of creep up on you. So I almost am wondering, like, I don't know, like based off your record, like, do you not care about winning series like early on because you know that they can come back and win them in game six or game seven too, right?
I don't know. I wouldn't gamble with Denver.
I mean, no, absolutely.
Because, like,
yeah, absolutely.
It's different than Boston. Boston, you know, sometimes they just aren't there mentally, you know, with Giannis being out a couple games. Like, so it's a different look now with Denver being that team
that's true.
You know, when they're up, they want to like just get rid of you quickly. So yeah. I think it's easier, or sorry, it's better, I should say, for Miami to really key in on getting it done right now, because they do have home court now. If you're looking at the remainder of the series, they have home court. So that's why I think it's more important for them. But Noor, looking at this game, give me an X factor for both teams, if you could. Like, who's somebody that needs to step up in game three?
I think for me, for the Miami side, I'm going to see to look at the role players, not just one in particular, but Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, Duncan Robinson, anybody who's outside of Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry, Kevin Love, like the guys are going to be on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. I think they need to show up every single game, because Miami is not going to win unless those threes are being drained. And that's what they're good at. They're good at shot checking from the 3-point line. They're good at getting those shots in. And I think to that point, too, it's going to come down to Nuggets on their side. I'm looking at Mike Malone. And I'm looking at how he adjusts his defense to Miami's offense, because we saw last game, Miami went 49% from three, and they took 86% of their shots outside of the restricted area. So that shows that not only were they taking them, they were going in, and the defense for Denver wasn't there at all. So I want to see what Mike Malone does there, to see how he can limit Miami's production, because you can stop Butler, Adebayo, whatever, but if the guys around them are going to get going in the perimeter, there's something has to be done to limit those threes, because when you have a game of threes versus twos or threes versus threes, it's going to be whatever team scores the most threes. And if Miami's going to score the most threes, like, they might take that one. What about you? Who do you think is going to be the key guy, or the key people for Miami?
Well, for Miami, it has to be Caleb Martin, in my opinion, because he's been really quiet. We saw the conference finals and how, like, even myself, I felt like he could have gotten MVP the way he was playing. I know Jimmy's still there, but the way he was playing, he really like helped them get to that next level against Boston. So, but now he's taking a drop off, like a major drop off. Two games, only 6 points, 3 points in each game. He's better than that. He's better than that. You're looking at his numbers, like the shooting wise. 2-for-10 shooting from the field, and he's only 2-for-4 from downtown. So he hasn't really been taking those jumpers like we saw. The volume hasn't been there as much. Hopefully he gets in those spots. He's at home, so role players, they feel more comfortable at home. Right? They know the Nets. They understand the environment, the atmosphere. They're more comfortable in that spot. So maybe he shows up. I think if he has a good game, then it's going to really open things up, because we saw with Gabe, we saw with Strus, especially Strus, like he really opened things up in that last game. So probably Martin for this one. And then for Denver, I'm looking at Michael Porter Jr. I keep bringing him up. I'm sorry for keeping on bringing him up, but he's so important to this team. And he has not played well. Let's just be real about it. He's a lot better than what he's shown us so far. Let's look at these numbers right now. Okay, two games, 19 points. Okay, he's better than that, right? He only had 5 in the last game. And then looking at these tour dates, 7-24. That's him from the field.
Tour dates.
Okay, and 3-of-17 from downtown. Okay, so look, and that's not March 17th. That's 3-for-17 from downtown. He's better than this, okay? Michael Porter Jr., if he can get himself to just see the ball go in, because I think that's the other thing. We saw it last game. He didn't really have that mojo, that fire, because he was missing shots. So that really affected him on both sides of the court, and that, you know, carried over throughout the rest of the game, because early on he wasn't hitting shots. So if he could be, you know, good from the get-go, that really helps out Jokic,
100%.
Because he'll have help. And it won't just be Jokic and Murray. Murray also has to play a bit better. They did, you know, give him a different look in game two. The Heat did. But I think Porter Jr. has to play well, in my personal opinion. What do you think?
Do you think with him, my question was last game, because he had such a, as you said, drop off from game one to game two, where even if his offense isn't going, his defense is so important to this team and to limiting all these guys, where, again, as we said, Denver's defense was not there at all. It just felt like the perimeter was wide open. It's like, you want to take a shot, Miami, try it, you'll probably get it in. And that's what happened the entire the second half, it felt like, and the first quarter too, with Max Strus there. So do you think it was just the shots not going in for Denver offense, or do you think it was Miami's defense that, again, not to bring up Eric Spoelstra, I know he asked his question, but do you think their defense was garnered more towards stopping guys like Michael Porter and Caldwell Pope and, you know, even Jamal Murray?
Well, I think Miami's done a good job in the playoffs in terms of the zone. And that's what we're seeing a lot, especially with this Denver series. Zone, they've held teams to 31% from downtown and like 42-43-ish from the field. So those are pretty good numbers when you're looking at the teams they played against Miami, okay? They played against the best offense in the league. Milwaukee, you're looking at the Celtics. Fact that the Denver Nuggets and Celtics, of course, mm-hmm. and the Knicks, you know. But, yeah, so they've done a good job in that area. But I also do think it was just a game where Denver didn't hit their shots.
Yeah.
That's why I still believe Denver can make this a quicker series. Because if they can shoot the ball well, that will carry over on both sides. Their offense will get going, and that will, you know, we'll probably see more effort and more intensity on the defense. That's what we did.
Because they weren't doing anything. They weren't defending, and their shots weren't going in. Yeah. And, you know, Jokic had a great game, but Jamal Murray was kind of a known factor, I would say, the entire game, too, kind of felt like, right? He had great points, but in terms of his impact on the court, it wasn't really there.
It could have been more.
It could, exactly. We know him to be doing more, so it could have been more. So I think, like, seeing that, it almost felt like, because I think you're right, like, Denver definitely has, it's a better team. They have so much more depth there. Mm-hmm. But it also solidified to me that for Miami to win a game in this series, they have to do everything right, which is sure the role players show up. Bam has a great game. Jimmy Butler, I guess Jimmy, we haven't seen him be him, but Jimmy still needs to be an impactful person on that court, you know, still be that anchor guy. Eric Spoelstra has to be on his A game, making sure that every adjustment is being made in that moment. And then on the other side, Nuggets have to miss every single shot. They can't defend shit from the 3-point line. So I'm wondering, I'm like, was this the perfect scenario for Miami? And then moving forward, maybe they won't see that again. I don't know.
I'm not sure, but like on that Murray point, he's only like averaged like around 22 points in these two games. That would be his lowest since 2019 for a playoff series. I know it's only been two games. Yeah. It's a quick, you know, series so far, but that's something to look at. But let's move now just quickly on this point of Tyler Hero. Like he's not going to be available for game three, but do you think he's going to help or hurt the Heat if he comes back? Because that's the debate.
I think he said so himself, right? He was asked about coming back. He was asked about how he's feeling. And he said that if there was a way for him to play, he probably would. But now the question is, how would his rust impact the team that already has a groove going right now in the finals? And I think he's doing the right thing here where he's choosing to sit out. As we know, he was ruled out for today's game. He's choosing to sit out because we know he's going to be a major impact on the court, especially offensively. Right. The Heat could use him any day of the week. He's, if not their best scorer, but their second best scorer
this
right
season.
On the season. Yeah. Absolutely. So I think his need there is so important, but we need him to be healthy. He can't come in on minutes restriction. Mm-hmm. He can't come in and screw up the flow of the offense and just make guys who already have a consistency moving forward on the court kind of like disrupt that. But at the same time, I feel so bad for him because imagine being and knowing that you're the second best scorer of the squad and knowing how much your team needs you in that moment and having to watch from the front row seats right there. It's the NBA Finals, but you just can't be on the court.
I know. I'd be pretty annoyed. I remember OG Anunoby. He couldn't participate in the 2019 run, so I felt bad for him.
Teams like that, too, where it's like those players probably won't get the chance again in the next couple of years.
It's not guaranteed.
Yeah.
It's definitely not guaranteed. I know he's been to the like 2020, but still, like, and I think, personally, real quick, it wouldn't be a problem if he comes back. I don't think, you know, a 20 point per game score is going to hurt you. Yeah. And let's face it, he's not going to play 25 plus minutes.
Yeah.
No, his minutes are probably going to be around like 10 or 12. You can't just throw him in playoff intensity, finals intensity like that. So it'd probably be taken down a notch. But I still think Tyler would help them out.
In some way, same shape or form, right? In the perimeter, you just leave him stranded in the 3-point line, just kick the ball out to him. He'll get that shot in no problem. But yeah, it's an interesting thing because I think he was the one who called the shots here. And he was like, I think I will sit this one out.
And just to end off this show, we talk about debates all the time. And there's one going on right now. Jokic and Jimmy Butler, obviously the stars of both respective teams. But Noor, who would benefit more from a ring?
That is such a good question. I was thinking about this and I told myself, I sat back, I had a list going and I said, you know what? No, because I couldn't figure out what the list was going to look like. So I'm like, I'm going to sit here in front of you guys and think out loud because Jimmy Butler has been through it all. He was called out. He was called the locker room cancer. He was kicked to the curb. Yeah. He was told he was not going to be a good player. And look at his come up as well, right? Like he was homeless. He wasn't one of the stars of the NBA that he is now. So he grew up from a very difficult time in his childhood to get to where he is now, where he was told that he's not really an NBA player either. He's not really a big scorer, right? right? So he had to, he says this himself too. He says that for me, it's not God-given talent. For me, it's talent that I have to work really hard at. And then because of all that, look at how he went through with the Timberwolves, with Philly, with all those teams. And to be where he is right now, I think winning would mean so much to him. But on the other side, you got Nikola Jokic, who's one of the best players in the league, if not the best alone. And he's been with the Nuggets kind of like just hoping to get over that little bump and make it to the finals and then also win that for himself, because he knows what that would mean for his legacy down the line and how people, I know maybe players don't care, but how you are viewed in terms of when you have rings is a whole different ballgame, right? So I think that would easily cement him as one of the GOATs if he had a ring next to him too. So both of them could use it, Jelani. I don't know. What do you think before I make up my mind?
Yeah, no, I was going to say Jimmy just because I think that really, really moves him into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I really think it solidifies him as a Hall of Fame player.
Do you think he's already there?
He's a borderline. Like, he's close. Okay. We've seen guys of his level get in, so probably, but I would just think like there would be no debate anymore about it since he's gotten to Miami. This team has had the most playoff wins, okay, in the last 4 years. I don't think people know that. Jimmy Butler has had that impact. He's had like 8 games of 40 plus points in the playoffs. He's a playoff performer. I think a ring, beating the number one seed as an 8th seed, the first 8th seed to win it all, I think this would be arguably the best run ever that we've seen. Milwaukee, number one seed, best overall record, beating a good Knicks team, beating a Celtics team, second best record in the league. Denver, best team in the West, okay, with my MVP. I know he didn't win it, but my MVP, Jokic, I think Jimmy Butler would benefit. I understand your point, though, on Jokic.
No, but I think you're right, because I think for me, he will take the he will take it over as well. And it's just the mere fact that, like, where he came from, what he's doing with all these teams now too. And he just deserves it. And like, if you see it now too, with like how they do their post game and their pregame interviews, it almost looks like they know like a documentary is being made right now on this whole season, right? Like, they're like, okay, I know we're doing something remarkable, like milestone-ish, and everything they say just seems like, well, that's gonna be a good quote one day.
That's true. But yeah, I just think that Philadelphia, Minnesota, they all made a mistake. Even Chicago, they made a mistake. Y'all made a mistake when it came to Jimmy Butler. Okay, put some respect on his name. I still got Denver in this series. I still got Denver in the series, but we'll see what happens tonight in Game 3 live from South Beach. Y'all better be watching. Don't be watching Netflix or Disney Plus. There's nothing on there right now. Okay, Game 3, NBA Finals. We'll see you next time.